And welcome back to Sounds of the Sanctuary, the third series of the podcast from Red Wings Horse Sanctuary. Welcome back to another series bringing you here into the heart of Red Wings. My name is Jude and I am your host, and I'm going to take you to meet more of our rescued residents as well as hear about some of the latest news from across the sanctuary from the people who make it happen. If you're a returning listener, you will know all about Field Notes, our accompanying episodes which will feature Red Wings experts as well as invited guests as we explore some of the welfare themes that are raised in the podcast in more detail. Hit subscribe on your favourite podcast platforms and you'll never miss an episode. This episode, which lands just before Halloween, is appropriately called Red Wings After Dark. But instead of all things spooky, we're finding out more about the nighttime welfare checks that happen across Red Wings. Every centre has a nighttime check, but for this episode, I chat to Sarah from our Knights Welfare Team, which covers Hapton HQ. This team might operate under the cover of darkness, but it's about time we shed a light on their crucial work, looking after our residents around the clock. First, Sarah chats to me about how the team works, and then we join her as an honorary team member and head out into the horse and donkey, and you'll see why I emphasise that, hospital, here at Hapton HQ to deliver some feeds and medication. Today I am joining Sarah, and Sarah is one of our Knights team leaders, and we are here to do a Knights check, and not any old Knights check either. It's the Knights check when Storm Babbitt is ravaging the UK, so we've battled our way through quite a lot of standing water to get here and everything, and the Knights team come in whatever the weather to check on the ponies. And so Sarah, I wonder if you can tell us, when we talk about Knights check, what are you actually checking for?
Okay, so our team leaders come in at 6 o'clock. We sort of check sort of for any movements that have happened. We obviously check who's got to be medicated, who's been fed. The rest of the team then comes in at 7 o'clock, and basically that's when the full shift starts, really. We're basically sort of checking sort of the welfare of the equines, how they are in the fields, if there's any sort of fences that have sort of broken, that sort of thing. So we're doing like a full check during the night. We have two sets of like feeds. We have night one feeds, night two feeds, and then same with the medication as well. Once we've done Hapton, we then go out to the other farms. Same there again, really. We sort of check how the equines are. We have to report anything that seems a bit odd, or if we've got any concerns for an equine. So obviously we're working alongside sort of the vet unit, sort of the vet on call. Sometimes we're required to stay if there's an equine they're not happy with, and just sort of assist them, really. And yeah, just make sure that everybody's sort of happy, really.
Yeah, so it can sort of really vary, can't it, depending on whether you find anything on your check that, like you say, you need to report to any of the vets, and then you may end up staying with that poorly pony until they get there.
Yeah.
And obviously, this time of year especially, we're in October, it's already dark. You guys have quite some serious head torches for this job, don't you? So you can go around and count. Am I right in saying you count every horse in every field to
we
make
do.
Sure?
Yes. Basically, we're given a list of all the fields with the horses on, and we basically have to go out to every field and count every equine that's in that field. And then that's obviously a good time to sort of check everybody's up and about. Nobody looks uncomfortable. So, yeah, it takes quite a while, should we say.
Yes, so. I can imagine. And you mentioned some of the horses get feeds throughout the night. A lot of horse owners, if they're listening to this, might think that's a bit unusual, because obviously typically they may feed their horse in the morning and then in the evening. Why do some of our horses need those regular feeds around the clock?
Some of our horses are classed as no long fibre, so obviously they need to have those extra feeds. It's just really sort of to help with obviously weight as well, that sort of thing as well.
But spacing it out throughout the day, isn't it, as well?
Yes.
Because our no long fibre ponies, whilst all the other horses might be happily munching on their hay or their grass, our no long fibre ponies can't eat that sort of fibre, can they? So all their nutrition is delivered in their feeds, which means they have to be fed around the clock as well. And obviously you get to see a side of Red Wings that quite a lot of people don't get to see. Red Wings After Dark, is there any kind of special stories that stick out in your mind, or anything that you've kind of come across while you've been here while nobody else is?
I would say one of the, well, I call it perks because I'm an outdoor girl. One of the perks, you see lots of wildlife. We've got quite a few owls around here. That we've also got quite a few families of little polecats as
Wow, okay.
So they're lovely to see. They're quite little characters. We've got a family at Hapton, and then we've also got some over at Piggott's. We went to do a visit there once, and there was a little family. They were under some pallets.
Yeah.
And so I can remember there was somebody on the shift for me. She's sort of saying, "Oh, there's something under that pallet," and we just thought it was a rabbit. There's quite a few rabbits.
We do have quite a lot of rabbits.
We have a lot, yes. or a squirrel or something. Yeah. And yeah, we sort of just watched it for a little bit, and this little baby polecat came out, and it was really sweet. So yeah, it's the kind of thing you would see a lot of.
A lot of people wouldn't be able to say they've seen that. So yeah, that's really cool. And I mentioned to Sarah before we started recording that I've done the odd night shift at times when they've been short staffed and they've needed an extra pair of hands, and I was very excited because I saw my first badger. I'd never seen a badger in the wild before until I did a night shift at Red Wings. So yeah, we get to see all sorts. So Sarah, your job is a bit different from maybe a lot, you know, you work after dark. What's the favourite part of what you do?
Obviously the equines, they were obviously the first. I also like the fact that it's outdoors. You're out in the fresh air. Even night tonight, you know, it's cold and it's wet. But I personally feel so much better being outside. I've had sort of jobs in the past where I've been indoors, and as soon as I came here, my well-being, sort of my mental health, was so much better.
Yeah.
And it just sort of shows, you know, just, I've always joke as well. I can remember when I came for my interview, I sort of came through the main gates, and just driving down that driveway, and you've got the equines either sides, they're all sort of happy munching. It's like you just release.
Yeah.
You sort of drive. And I find that with like my sort of, when I come in at night now, although it's not so quite easy to see now, but in the summer you come down and you just think, I'm really lucky to work here. It's so peaceful.
Yeah.
And obviously working with the horses, it's something that I've always wanted to do. And obviously I've sort of come back to after family, and yeah, it's lovely.
Yes. Yeah. A colleague of mine once described driving down the Hapton Drive as like driving into a Disney film, because you've got the ponies happily munching, you know, either side, bunnies hopping about, squirrels hopping about. And then I remember driving down once on my way out just after five, and there was a little owl sat on a fence, and then further along there was a little hawk. And I was like, yeah, it really is. It's quite Disney lovely. Vibes, isn't it? But and in terms of the horses, do you, obviously, especially the ones here at the horse hospital, they will change depending on the horses that are in and everything. But do you ever build up like special soft spots for any that you see regularly on your night shifts?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think as a team, we've all got our favourites. And you've obviously got the ones that are sort of in a lot, or the ones that visit quite a lot. So when they start coming, oh, so-and-so's coming back. I think everybody's probably got a favourite here. Yeah. So
do you have a personal favourite?
I've got a few.
The
sort of ones I think to myself, if I won the lottery, would I have at home? I love, we've got Costa over at Rehoming at the moment, who's lovely. Frida, we've got Frida as well. She's beautiful. So they're all lovely. I know a few of them have their off days, but they're all lovely.
Brilliant. So you're going to take me out now, and we're going to go and deliver some meds to some of the patients here at the horse hospital, and we're going to meet a few of the residents that are here. So we're now heading over to med one of the residents, Frida, and I mentioned the rain. You can hear that we're having to splash our way over to her, so she'll hear us coming. She's in one of the vet stables here at Hapton. Oh! Oh, are we getting a welcome? Obviously, that isn't Frida the horse that's giving us the welcome. This is Rodney and Ruby the donkeys. It's not your turn yet, I'm afraid. It's not your turn yet. It'll come. Hello, Frida. You know what's coming, don't you? Hey.
Hello, Dad.
So, what meds is Frida getting?
Frida has got 5 ACP.
Mhm.
And she's also got 1 Bute.
Brilliant. So, and that's because she's in
She's lame at the moment.
Yeah.
She's also she's very lamellitic as well. She's 26, so she's not anything anymore. So.
Yeah. So just some pain relief.
Yes.
To keep her comfy while she's here on box rest. Definitely. Yeah. And Frieda is a beautiful Appaloosa. She's got a very speckly nose, haven't you, darling? Hey? Anyone that's visited Aylsham may have met Frieda before, and she's one of our equines that came from the infamous Amersham rescue, and you're still going strong all these years later, aren't you, darling, hey? She's like, I don't want to talk to you, Jude, I just want my food. Because meds come in tasty, tasty packages, so you know that something tasty's coming, don't you, sweetheart, hey? Hey?
So basically, I've taken a handful of food. She seems to like balancer, so we've sort of got a little bit of balance for her. We basically pour the medication into the feed, give it a good mix, sort of make sure that she eats it, basically.
Yeah.
We do this before we give them any feed, any forage, anything like that at all, just to make sure, it's gone in, really.
Yep.
She's usually pretty good, actually. She will sort of eat it straight away. Some of them, you'll see them, they'll eat around the tablets.
Yep.
And, you're sort of left with them in the bowl.
Yes.
But she seems to be quite good, so hopefully she will be tonight as well.
Hey, sweetie. There we go. Tucking right in there. She knows the drill.
She does, yeah, she's pretty good, actually.
You know the drill? You've got quite noisy neighbours, haven't you, darling, hey?
Good girl.
And are the donkeys expectantly waiting for their hay nets?
They'll have hay later, about sort of 8 o'clock they'll sort of have their feed. We've also got, to the left-hand side, we've got Hope and Lucy as well. Hope's on medication as well. That's, I believe, a mother and daughter next door, so, yeah, they're not very big.
Together. Because some of our stables, if we've got bonded pairs, they will come in together. So, yes, two little ones sharing a stable. And the donkeys, yes, hello. You also share a stable, yes. Hey, sweetheart. Do you find they're always pleased to see you because they know that food is incoming?
Yeah,
they see the head torches and they're like, it's night time, snack time.
Not quite. If they sort of go in with like medication, we just pace them. Some of them are like, no, we don't like that.
Yeah.
But 9 times out of 10, if they realise they're getting food, they're happy.
Yes. You're a popular team. How's Frieda getting on? She munched her way through. Just a few crumbs left. Yes, thank you, Rodney. Rodney and Ruby are from Red Wings Ada Cole in Essex. They're up here for some handling training. So they're staying up here with us for a bit of training, supported by our behaviour team. And you've both got a cosy stable out of the rain as well. You're just shouting about it, hey? Making your presence known.
There we go, all done.
All done. Yeah. Fabulous. So as well as delivering meds, we also deliver feeds on our night shift, and we've got Cooper's food. And Sarah tells me that Cooper is always especially pleased to see his tea. So hopefully we will hear him chatting in a minute when we go around the corner and he realises that we've got it. Can't see him yet. We've just come round the stable block. I can see a few heads peeking out. Over doors. Hey Cooper, have we got your dinner? We're so excited he's barely letting Sarah get it in the bowl.
Try and keep some in your mouth, darling.
There we go. Dinner is served, my man.
Can't eat quick enough.
He's quite a messy eater. He's managing to get quite a lot of it on the floor around his bucket as well as going in his mouth. But I'm sure he'll go around and hoover up the crumbs.
Oh, he will, definitely. Yeah. That'll be spotless. We'll come back later.
Okay. Do you make happy chewing sounds? Right, we'll let you eat. Oh, Cooper's even got sparkly letters on his door spelling his name out. Bless him. I feel like Cooper might be a bit of a favourite.
Field Notes this week discusses fireworks as Bonfire Night rapidly approaches. This period is probably one of our Knights team's most busy times of year. Sarah explained to me what this season can mean for her team.
And Sarah, we are obviously sort of at the middle of October now, so looking towards Bonfire Night and the fireworks that may happen in the area. You've experienced some fireworks so far, and what kind of measures do the Knights team put in place on nights where you know there's going to be fireworks happening nearby?
So basically we know already, obviously ready for next month, that we've got a couple of events coming through. Businesses have been very good to let the company know.
Yeah.
So we can obviously plan ahead a little bit. Mm-hmm. We've obviously got the four different farms to get to during that night. We sort of work alongside really as sort of the day team as well. So last time when we had fireworks, some of the day team actually worked into the evening, mm-hmm. whilst you know the times when the fireworks were on. We did extra checks around Piggott's as well, and just basically constantly checking around Hapton, mm-hmm. sort of making sure everybody's okay. Touch wood, last time it was okay, and the horses didn't really sort of, they weren't too phased by it, but we always think you just got to go out and be prepared, because it could just take like one nail bang, and obviously it could upset like a whole field of horses.
Do you find, as in your role as sort of team leader, does it worry you? Would you be more worried about that sort of shift than your normal night shift?
I would, yes. It's even like when we have like really bad thunderstorms, mm-hmm. Just the whole behaviour of the equines change, because they're more on edge. Some, when we go out to sort of feed some of them or medicate some of them, they're a lot more livelier, mm-hmm. and a lot harder to medicate. So obviously as we get closer to the 5th of November, and I'm sure it's not going to be just the 5th of November with all the events going on, you do have to be a lot more sort of alert.
So not only are you thinking about the safety of the horses, you're thinking about the safety of your team.
Oh, definitely.
You have to go, these horses... It's still really important, as long as it's safe for you guys, that these horses are fed and medicated as normal.
Definitely.
But you're doing it in circumstances where they may be, the horses are just maybe more rattled, and like you say, their fear responses are heightened.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, we're always told if it ever seems unsafe, you don't go in the field.
Yeah.
You know, we work alongside, we work in pairs or more, hopefully, mm-hmm. If we have more people on the shift, but we never put ourselves in danger. We're never expected to put ourselves in danger.
No.
If we can't medicate a horse,
yeah.
it just doesn't happen. You know, everybody's really understanding about it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of those things you really have to sort of gauge it when you get to the field. If they seem settled, still doesn't mean they might not just all of a sudden go funny and start running around you.
Does it frustrate you, like the fact that on a normal night you'd be able to get around and do everything just fine, but because of fireworks, you may then, these horses may end up missing their medication and things?
Oh, definitely.
Like that.
Yeah, it does. I go to these events with my family. You know, I love to see fights, but I can also sympathise with people with animals. You know, we've had dogs in the family which have always been on edge because of fireworks, and you can't go out and leave them, basically. Yeah. It really scares them. So, it does make me cross when, especially when people don't let you know. You know, you've got animals nearby, you've got rescue centres nearby. Yeah. At least have the decency to sort of say to people about it, and at least we can prepare them.
This is it. Like you say, we're quite lucky in that a lot of people nearby here know, obviously we're here, and they know we have a large number of horses, and they will let us know, which means you guys can put things in place like extra team members on that night. And I guess you can be prepared with extra forage and stuff if you think that will help settle the horses. So that's really key, isn't it?
Just
the more notice you guys have, the more you can be prepared, and you don't get caught out in a situation where you're not expecting the fireworks and obviously the behaviours that come with it. Well, I hope this fireworks season, like I say, touch wood, so far it's been good, so hopefully everyone will be happy and come through
a nice settled night, hopefully.
This is it. Have a nice settled night.
And that brings Sounds of the Sanctuary to a close. This week's Field Notes will expand more upon the topic of fireworks at Red Wings. Last year, extra staff for the night checks and extra forage to keep our herds munching and hopefully happy through local fireworks displays cost Red Wings almost £1,500, over £300 a night at our South Norfolk farms. As a charity, those funds are precious. This week's Field Notes continues our campaigning work as Red Wings echoes calls for increased regulation of fireworks and awareness of the risks that fireworks can pose for horses. Hit subscribe to be notified as soon as it goes live and hear more about how you can help. Thank you.